Remember the show hole of summer? Not so much anymore. Welcome to Pop Life.
On-demand audio from WAER is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. To give or to find more information, visit our website, waer.org.
Back in the days when your television had three channel options, four if you had a UHF station in town, summer was the Grand Canyon of TV programming, separating spring cliffhangers from the return of your heroes in the fall. And in between was an overabundance of reruns, a huge show hole. But it's not your dad's summer TV anymore, is it? Thanks to premium cable TV channels and streaming services, the summer show hole is being filled in with some pretty good, even award-winning content. I'm Joe Lee with the pop culture ambassador Bob Thompson, director of the Blyer Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University, and today we're chatting about summer TV viewing. Bob, you remember the days when summer TV consisted of reruns and just live sporting events, baseball, daytime soap operas?
I do, and I hated it when I was a kid because you'd seen everything by that time. But it was still that way to some extent when I started doing this for a living, and summer was great. You could finally let the Betamax cool down. You didn't have to be waking up every morning watching all this material. That really begins to change. I suppose the big change is when cable channels are no longer just showing reruns of the Andy Griffith Show. Mm-hmm. They start deciding to make new material. And then, of course, the internet completely changes it. I'm looking at Entertainment Weekly and TV Guide for these past couple of weeks. TV Guide's cover, 65 shows to watch as the weather heats up. The cover of Entertainment Weekly, 75 reasons to stay indoors. When we were kids, there were about 75 primetime series total, mm-hmm. On all three networks for the whole week. Now there's 75. Five new ones mm-hmm. we've got to be watching. So it is a whole new situation.
The big three networks they're doing some fresh content. A lot of them are doing, shows like reality TV shows like Big Brother and things like that. But the hole is really being filled by cable and the streaming services.
The vast majority of it, you're right. The big three had started doing this reality summer shows. 1999 was the introduction of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire by ABC, one of the biggest hits of ever. Mm-hmm. 2000, Survivor, introduced in the summer by CBS. 2001, Fear Factor. 2002, American Idol. So that really was something they've been doing for a while. And they're still doing some. Still, Star-Crossed is that big ABC Romeo and Juliet thing that just debuted. Network's got a number of others. But if you look at the big list, most mm-hmm. of it, you're right, is on cable or online.
And at that time, was that when folks began to say, look, it looks like we can actually draw an audience in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an odd history. There's so many things that network executives thought for a long time were truth brought down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments that they would then change and realize that they weren't. One of them was serialization. Network executives until the late 70s didn't think a primetime audience would take a show that continued. Mm-hmm. Then they introduced Dallas, mm-hmm. and that changed their mind. The idea that a comedy had to be a half hour long is one that we still are kind of keeping together. Summer was, and part of this was based on fact, people are outside longer because the weather's nicer and the sun is up for longer. Primetime, if you're in the Midwest zone, is over by the time it's dark in June. So that was one thing. But in the old live days, what they used to do is a regular series would be 39 weeks long. And then the 13 weeks remaining in summer, they'd put their B-level guests on. That's where mm-hmm. the lower-ranking people could get in. Once we started not doing live, that went away. But even then, I'm thinking some of the great series out there, Northern Exposure was introduced in July. Melrose Place was introduced in July. And a little thing that you might remember called Seinfeld mm-hmm. was one of the greatest, biggest hits of all time.
Really?
That debuted July 5th, the day after the 4th of July of all
really?
Things.
Really? I did not know that.
That was the pilot. And then the series started the following May 31st. So that's not technically summer because it's not after the solstice, but it's summer for all intents and purposes. So this can happen. That's not to say everything you've just said is true, because for the most time, summer was this Grand Canyon, yes. as you pointed out, and now it sure isn't.
No, I suspect that my DVR is going to get a heavy workout, unless I'm turning to the streaming where you can pull it up at any time you want. But let's check in with what some of the folks are doing, starting with HBO. They like to package programming on Sunday evenings, starting with the return of the blockbuster hit Game of Thrones, which we spoke about in a previous episode. And then they have a couple of comedies that'll be coming on, Ballers, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and a surprising hit called Insecure with newcomer Issa Rae.
Being aggressively passive is what I do best. I used to keep a journal to vent. Now I just write raps.
Go, shawty. It's my birthday, but no one cares because I'm not having a party, because I'm feeling sorry for myself.
It's an interesting show. It's very funny, by the way. It's an interesting show created by Issa Rae and former Daily Show star Larry Wilmore. And it centers around Issa, a rather awkward young black woman dealing with her flaws and insecurities as she navigates everyday life out in California, I believe in Los Angeles. It is in its, I believe, second season coming up and starts this coming July. Have you watched that show at all?
I love this show. And for one thing, like most HBO primetime stuff, you don't want to watch this with the children, because it's got a lot of language. You can't even read the titles of the episodes to the children. This started out as a web series, which is where she got her attention.
Was it called Awkward Black Girl?
It was, something like that, yeah. Now it's going into its second season. It's funny. It does stuff that other places don't do. Say the name Larry Wilmore, and that you got me. I'm a big a fan of his. Issa Rae is really, really good in it, so I would recommend go back and watch the first episode first, and then get ready for the second one, which is debuting the 23rd of July, I think.
Yeah, I think they all start the same evening. Like I said, HBO likes to package these things, start new things in a bundle on Sunday evenings.
Just between you and me, I would much rather watch an episode of Insecure than another episode of Game of Thrones any day.
Oh, that's sacrilegious. I can't believe you said that to me. It's a great show. I'm really looking forward to Game of Thrones. But let's move on to AMC looks to keep things interesting with the spinoff of its wildly popular post-apocalyptic horror drama The Walking Dead, with season 3 of Fear the Walking Dead, graphic comic adaptation Preacher, and its period drama Turn, Washington Spies.
I'm done.
What?
Andre has been captured. Tell me to bring him here. Then we can talk. He knows everything.
What do they do with him?
I don't know.
Will they hang him?
They'll hang us. I must flee now.
You?
Washington will never harm a woman, especially not an innocent one. And you are going to need to play the innocent better than anyone ever has. Be together again soon. I promise.
Are you into any of those AMC shows?
Yeah, I've watched all of them, and AMC is right up there with FX as the most exciting place outside of pay cable. Those are basic cable places. What's interesting is you name that list and you play those clips is that I'm sitting here thinking, oh, yeah, that's a great show. The first season of that was – and there's just so much of this out now that if any one of those shows you just listed had played in 1978, it would have been the greatest thing that had ever happened on television. No one would be able to believe that this was a TV show. And now, you know, you're flipping through, you land on AMC, oh, another great dramatic television series.
I do watch two of those. Preacher, the adaptation of the comic Preacher, I tried. It was a little too goofy for me. But
it's
Fear the Walking
goofy.
Dead I watched because I'm a huge Walking Dead fan, so I wanted to check out the spinoff. And it's pretty good. It's no Walking Dead, but it's starting to pick up. But they have a little ways to go to catch up with the father.
Yeah, they do, and I'm not sure they ever will. But it could have been so much worse. Those kinds of things normally, they can really blow up. And what they were doing is exactly why you want to watch it, is people love The Walking Dead so much, they need more of it. So this was what they came up with.
Netflix returns with two of its more popular original series, starting with the prison dramedy Orange is the New Black and season 5 of political drama House of Cards.
Now, you accuse me of breaking the rules, and I tell you, I am playing by the rules. The very rules that you and I all agreed upon. The very rules that you and I all wrote together. So, yes, I'm guilty as hell, but then so are all of you. Yes, the system is corrupt, but you wanted a guardian at the gate like me, and why? Because you know I will do whatever it takes. And you have all enjoyed it. been party to it, and benefited by it.
These are a couple of good ones, and I think they're successful for different reasons. I think Orange is the New Black offers fresh faces, good writing, and pretty fresh material. House of Cards, I think people are interested in because it mimics our national politics at the moment.
Well, and it's interesting, too. Those are the two shows that really made Netflix. Mm-hmm. And not that many years ago. It seems like forever ago because Netflix has made precisely 5 million different shows since then. But Netflix had done something called Lilyhammer. Nobody paid much attention to that. But then they did House of Cards first in the spring and then Orange is the New Black. And then we were off and running. Orange is the New Black this season, every episode takes place in real time. And the whole season is only 3 days long, which is very interesting. House of Cards, you're right. It's now to the point where so much stuff that they put on House of Cards has kind of begun to come true and vice versa. I don't know that that show is quite as fresh as it was when it first came out the gate. And as much as I love those Kevin Spacey delivered Richard III type monologues, maybe 3 seasons of those begin to be enough. But it's still every episode I watch still continues to deliver. So.
No, a lot of good stuff. Again, I think I'm going to be pretty busy trying to squeeze all these shows in this summer. When we come back, we'll have our invitation to binge. Welcome back. You're listening to Pop Life. It's our invitation to binge. And you know what? Since we're talking about the summer shows, Bob, I've never watched. I've watched probably 2 episodes of House of Cards. They were very good, very interesting. But it was one of those things that I know is there, and I keep putting it on the back burner to get other things viewed and watched and enjoyed. And now I'm getting to the point where it's piling up on me, beginning to look a little overwhelming. So for this week's invitation to binge, I want you to convince me to watch House of Cards.
Well, first of all, I am so jealous of you. You're in for a really big treat, especially because you're going to be able to have a pretty big dosage of them all at once. I think for a couple of reasons that this is something you should have under your belt. First of all, it's really become one of the few shows that is part of the public conversation, not just among its fans, but kind of in a wider race. You hear people making Frank Underwood comments who have never watched the show. That's one thing. Secondly, it really, the style it's got of, and Spacey had just done Richard III on stage before he shot that first season, and it's got that kind of over-the-top Shakespearean kind of quality to it. And the things that Frank Underwood does are so ruthlessly bad. There's a kind of the feeling I used to get when I watched Dallas back in that innocent age where J.R. seemed like a really bad character. Now J.R. seems like a choir boy. But anyway, so it's got that great acting across the board, some fun surprises, and like that clip that we played earlier, it's overwritten to within an inch of its life, but the way it's performed is really brilliant. In the end, I guess I'd say that trying to convince someone to watch any specific good TV show is now trying to convince someone to read a single great book. You're not going to live long enough to read all the great books. Mm-hmm. So if you really don't want to watch House of Cards, you can live without it because there's a lot of other stuff out there. But as you're going through this process, I'm going to be interested to see how someone who is watching them like in multiple episodes per day. Now's a perfect time to do it because you watch all the ones to get caught up and then you'll be ready for the new ones, which just came out.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Pop Life, a production of WAER Public Media. Big thanks to our producer, Kevin Kloss. Leave a comment about today's show on the Pop Life Facebook page. And if you want more Pop Life, listen on demand at WAER.org. You can also subscribe to the podcast for new episodes as they are released. I'm Joe Lee, and on behalf of Bob Thompson, thanks for joining us.